You know, I wanted for a little while, for a few weeks, to talk about living a radical life for Jesus. And so to do that, you got to have a radical presence of God in your life if you're going to live a radical life, right? So you got to enjoy the radical presence of God. And so we're going to look at that over the coming weeks. But like I said, we're going to look at different aspects of radical living. But to do that, it starts with the presence of God. And I don't know about y'all, but after the election, and how many of y'all got, I mean, I probably got 50 text messages yesterday. And the phone in the house never stopped ringing. And the emails, you know, and stuff. And it's like, thank you, Jesus. Well, now they're asking for money to fight in court. But it's like, I'm just ready for it to all be over. But, you know, here's the thing. We can step into the presence of God. And that makes that, it puts everything else in perspective when we do that. So if I were to ask people, and there's been surveys on this, what would be the number one emotional pain that people are struggling with in our culture? Somebody might say depression or anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety out there. A lot of people taking anti-anxiety medication, a lot of depression going on. But probably one that's probably related to both of those that has actually been the winner is loneliness. Loneliness has been kind of is one of those things that just in it. Anybody besides me ever been lonely? I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of loneliness because my wife would tell you I can talk the bark off a tree. You know, I mean, we're driving and she said, "You're reading road signs again." You know, I mean, I can talk to anybody, but you can be lonely, right? And so loneliness, a lot of people would think, well, it might be guilt or shame, but it's loneliness, and you can write that down. And here's the thing. We've been in a pandemic where for 2 months, you know, March and April and part of May, we were locked down. They're saying, don't go anywhere. In some of these states, California and Michigan and some of these states, they won't let you do anything. You know, the governor in Michigan, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. But her husband's out on a boat, you know, and stuff like that. But you know, there's a lot of hypocritical stuff going on. But we have been in a state where our governor has valued people of faith in churches, and I thank God for that. But people, I believe there's been a lot of loneliness that's been maybe stirred up by the fact we were stuck at home, you know. And I'm blessed. I mean, Kathy and I were stuck at home together, and so got to have some good cooking. And we exercised, and I lost my COVID-19, and all that instead of putting it on. But a lot of people, there's just a lot of missing that connection. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. And so people today, we're trying to connect through social media. People do that through dating sites. You know, people connect through video games. Now, you've got exercise groups online. You know, people put their little phone up there, and they're just doing all their exercises, and other people are looking. I don't want anybody to know how bad a shape I'm in. And so I'm not networking with any of those people. But you got all that, all kinds of stuff going on. But let me tell you, the best place to network is right here in church. You either network with the Lord and with each other, some people that love the same things that you love. But why are people searching for connection like that? Why are people so desperate to be connected? I mean, we do it all the wrong ways. You know, we can connect on Facebook, and you've got all these friends on Facebook or whatever, but it doesn't take the place of looking at somebody and being able to talk with them and be in the same room with them and do all that kind of stuff. But the answer to that is we don't want to be alone. How many of y'all just like being alone? I mean, it might be a few of y'all. Most of us, we just don't want to be alone. And matter of fact, God recognized that when he created man. He said in Genesis 2:18, he said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Now I want to point out that the two people in this building, I won't call their names, that raised their hands that they like being alone were women. Women do seem to do better without men. Men, we can't do without y'all. So, ladies, we're pretty lost. We're not even housebroken without women in our lives. We did have a couple of women say, "Yeah, I can be alone," you know. But God said it's not good for the man to be alone. So I'm going to make a companion for him, a helper suited to meet his needs. And so That word, guys, before y'all get too excited about a helper, it means a completer. It's somebody to complete you, which just backs up what I just said. We're kind of incomplete, guys, without the woman in our lives. It just kind of works that way. Think about it. Adam was in a perfect environment. He had no problems. He didn't have a mother-in-law. He didn't have bad cooking. I mean, he didn't have anything bad going on. And God recognized, even with all that, that it wasn't good for him to be by himself, that he needed somebody like him so that he wouldn't be alone. And here's what I believe. I think God hates loneliness because I believe God made us with a built-in desire to be connected to each other, to be relational, to have relationships. And so he doesn't want us to be alone. So he's given us several resources I'm going to go through that I think will help us to overcome loneliness. Number one, I want you to write this down. To relieve loneliness, God gives us his plan to live for. We got to have a purpose. How many of you know you got to have a reason to get up in the morning? When you were locked down, we played that cute little video, after the offerings for a while, where every morning's the same. You're not getting up and going anywhere. The guy finally just beats his alarm clock, because every day's the same. It's like, what day is today? Because you kind of judge, you're weak by going to work, or you're weak by church on Sunday and Wednesday or whatever, and stuff like that. And so, God gives us a plan. Look at Psalm 138:8. It says this, the Lord will work out his plan for my life. He'll work out his plan for your life. He's got a plan for each one of us. And so when we start focusing on God's will for our life when we're busy focusing on what he wants us to do and figuring that out, we'll begin to not have time for a pity party and be lonely, okay? And you'll find that joy will start coming into your life. Second thing, to relieve loneliness, God gives us his people to live with. That's the church. That's what this is. He gives us his people, a family. Look what he says in Psalm 68:6. He says, God places the lonely in families. He places lonely people. Folks, this is a family right here. This is a family. And so you might be lonely out here. You might not have your nuclear, your biological family here. Your biological family might be haywire. I don't know. But this is a place you can come, and it's family in a good way. And so he places the lonely in families. Look at Galatians 6:10. It says, when we have the opportunity to help someone, we should do it, but we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. In other words, we want to be nice to everybody. We want to help other people, but we really need to take care of family too. And so he's given us a family, his people to live with. We're a family of believers. And that's why we called our groups connect groups, because we wanted people to connect. Our motto we have on some of our materials, it says connecting people to the Lord and to each other. Because we want to be connected to God, but we want to connect to each other because that's important. And so we need to understand that. Number three, to relieve loneliness, God gives us his presence. And this is where we're going to camp out. And that's what I want to focus on is the presence of God. Look, in Hebrews 13:5, he says, I will never, what? Abandon you. That means God's never going to leave you out there. You're out here having a tough time, and it's like you feel like you're all by yourself. And God said, no, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. So if you take some of these principles that we're kind of hitting on tonight, and you begin to apply them in your life, and you get tapped into God's radical presence in your life, it's going to change your life. There was a story I read about a 100-year-old lady. Now, this is very rare that a lady 100 years old, but she came up to the altar at a church, and she got led to faith in Christ. She got born again. She got saved, and then she wanted to get baptized. I don't even know if I'd want to baptize a 100-year-old lady. But they baptized her, and when she came up, she was crying. She said, I can't believe I almost missed this. A connection, family, connection. And so here's the good thing. You and I don't have to wait 100 years to to have that connection. We don't have to have wait 100 years to be in his presence. We don't have to, our family doesn't have to wait. We can experience the presence of God right now. If you're watching, you can experience the presence of God right now. You can choose that today. And the starting point for the presence of God, the starting point for the peace of God, is when we invite Jesus into our heart and we start a relationship with Jesus. That's the starting point, is you've got to start that relationship. And in every service, we give people an opportunity to invite Christ into their life. So how do I recognize God in my life? How do I recognize that I'm experiencing the presence of God in my life? What does that mean? And it actually begins with a change of mind, a change of the way we think. You begin changing the way you think about God. You change the way you think about, who he is and what he does. Some people are scared of God. You know, I mean, you start talking about God and they start breaking into a sweat, you know, because, oh, man, you know, I don't measure up. You've got this idea that God is out to get you all the time. He's not. But we start to think that way because some people are afraid of him and other people hadn't even thought about him. Other people think he's just this mysterious, distant, non-involved God, and that's not true either. 700 years B.C., Isaiah gave Jesus a name. It's called Emmanuel. And there's a lot of names for Jesus and for God in the Bible. And each of those names identifies a purpose. Like we've got Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, you know, and so, but Isaiah gave Jesus a name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we're coming into Christmas season. How many of y'all watching Hallmark Christmas yet? Man, y'all got to get with it. That's what I watched instead of election coverage last night. But here's another name for you, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. The Lord is present. You see, there's this idea today that God's this distant, unattached, uninterested God. But that's not true. All through the Bible, we see that God is here. He's with us when we need him. He's with us. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. He's not some unreachable, distant God. He is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present. Jesus said he's with you and he will be in you. And that happened when you invited Christ to come into your life. The Lord is present in you. And look at Matthew 28. I mean, at the end of the great commandment, we always focus on the first part where Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples. That's our charge, to go out and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And then he said this, here's the promise, and be sure of this, I am with you always. I'm with you always. We don't focus on that part, but folks, Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. When your kids are acting up, I'm going to be with you. When you're facing the boss at work and he's not happy, I'm going to be with you. When you've lost your job, I'm going to be with you. When you're fighting addiction, I'm going to be with you. He said, I'm going to be with you always, even to the ends of the age. That's a radical promise. And he's going to be with you. I mean, he's going to be with you when you're sick. He's going to be with you always. And here's the thing. I want you to write this down. God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. What that simply means is a big word for God's everywhere at the same time. Now, I have tried to be two places at one time. And it doesn't work. I drive pretty quick, but I'm not that quick. And which, by the way, we saw one of Kathy's cousins, Pastor Kathy's cousins this week, that I can't keep up with when she drives. So just know, you know, I'm not the worst one out there. But I'm getting better. I'm closing the gap. But see, God can be two places at one time. He's everywhere all at the same time. And he's completely focused on wherever he's at, everywhere. Now, how does he do that? Ask him when you get to heaven. Look what Psalm said. Psalm said this, I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning and I dwell in the furthest oceans, Even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I can't hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same. Guys, we can't get anywhere to get away from God. Now, sometimes that's scary when you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing. God's right there with you, just so you know. We can't go anywhere. He's not there. I've got a sign in the front bathroom of our house that says, "Fear not tomorrow. God is already there." You see, we don't need that. Some of y'all might have needed to read that 2 days ago. I don't know, you know, but God is already there. We don't need to be afraid of tomorrow because God is already there. And so listen, we can't get away from him. You know what? That, to me, that's reassuring because it means that it doesn't matter where I'm at. God's there with me and I can call on him for help. So let's look at experiencing God's presence in your life. How can we do that? I tried to make these into a sentence that would sound good. But anyway, because God is always with me, I can trust him to help me out. So you're out there by yourself. You need help. He'll help you out. He'll help you out. And listen, this is where we all struggle, experiencing the presence of God in our life. I mean, we get busy. We get distracted. And we lose that feeling of the presence of God sometimes, but we want that in our lives. And so a lot of people will live by their feelings, you know. I mean, they'll react emotionally. You might be one. I'm more of a thinker, you know. And somebody says, "Well, how do you feel?" Well, I think, you know, that's my answer. But when your feelings run your life and things don't go well, then your feelings get all out of whack, right? You start going, "Where's God? Why did God? God must not love me because I just don't feel like he's here. If he loved me, he wouldn't let this happen to me." And so you just kind of go, let me just tell you something. God's always with you. God's always with you. Look what Isaiah said. He said, "Don't worry because I'm with you." It's God speaking. He said, "Don't worry because I'm with you. Don't be afraid because I am your God." Then he goes on and says this, "I will make you strong," underline that or circle it or highlight it, "and I will help you and I will support you with my right hand that saves you." That's three promises right there. He said he's going to make you strong, he's going to help you, and he's going to support you. So, I mean, those are powerful promises. You're going through difficult times and you're out there somewhere and listen, you fall, he's going to help you up. He's going to give you the strength to keep going. He's going to support you as you grow. See, he's going to help you. He's going to grow you. He's going to support you. So he's going to make you strong. He'll give you the strength. None of us are strong enough to do this on our own. But God says right here, "I will make you strong." Who makes us strong? God does. It's not my strength. It's not your strength. It's God's strength. I don't know about y'all. That ought to make you go, "Wee-hee." I mean, you know. He's got more strength than we do, you know, and so God will do that. I mean, your circumstances might be terrible, and you might feel like God's abandoned you. But he said, "Don't rely on those feelings. I am with you. I'm with you. So don't be afraid because I am your God." That's what he says. Write this down. You can rely on the truth when you're going through circumstances. Rely on this truth. God will not abandon you. God will not abandon. Just write down, "God won't abandon me." I don't think I put that in your outline. Just put, "God won't abandon me." And he won't. He's always going to be there with you. In my darkest days, God has always been there. God's always been there. So when you go through addictions and you fall back, God's going to be there to pick you up. He's going to give you the strength to get going. When you lose your job because of COVID, he's going to be there and give you the strength. He's going to provide for you. You know, one of the things, I played that offering thing of my mother a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things she didn't say was when my dad's business burned down, they kept giving to the church. And God just kept providing, you know. And sometimes daddy'd come home with eggs instead of money, you know, or we ate a lot of eggs. But things just kept going. God always provided. God won't abandon you. He won't abandon you. And so you go through these things. The key is to realize, get it here, that God is always with you. He's actually in you. So God is always with you. And you don't have to worry about that. The difference, you know, there's a difference between being alone and lonely, right? You can be lonely in the middle of this room with a crowd of people. Or you can be alone and not be lonely. And when you feel the presence of God, when you are practicing and you're working on the presence of God, you will not feel lonely. You can be alone or you can be in a crowd, but you won't be lonely. Now, you know, some people might feel lonely because they've lost a loved one, you know, and so they're hurting. Others might feel lonely due to chronic pain or illness, you know, and there's nothing to make you feel more alone than being sick, right? Anybody been sick? You know, I can remember one time I was a teenager. My parents, I couldn't get off of work. I had a job working one summer with a contractor, and my parents and my brother went on vacation. I got dumped by my girlfriend. And then I got sick, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm thinking I'm going to die, and nobody's going to know it for a week when my mama gets back, you know. But we get to feeling that way, right? And so, you know, there's nothing worse than being sick and by yourself. I mean, you know, but here's the thing. You might think nobody understands what you're going through, but God understands, and he's right there with you. He's right there with you. Look, Psalms 27:10 says this. If my father and my mother leave me, the Lord will take me in. You might be abandoned. You might not have any friends. Your family might be against you, but the Lord will take you in. So even if those who are closest to you, who are supposed to love you, don't, God's there. Paul wrote this. He said, we're hunted down, but God never abandons us. I mean, Paul had people hunting for him too. I mean, we're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up and keep on going. Listen, if everybody walks out of your life, God will not walk in. That's when he walks in. He doesn't walk out. He walks in when everybody else is leaving, and he won't leave you. Number two, because God's always with me, I can trust him to calm me down. I don't know if anybody besides me ever gets jacked up over anything. Y'all all trying to look innocent. Some of y'all get jacked up, all right? You know, I mean, things get a little crazy, and you get a little bit wound up emotionally, and so you need God to calm you down, and he'll do that. You know, a lot of times you might feel that way at night. You know, maybe you're home alone at night, and you hear a noise. You go, "What's that?" And so you know, but here's the thing: we rely on God. Look at Psalm 4:8. It says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone." You alone, oh Lord, will keep me safe. We got an alarm system at our house, and it'll make a lot of noise if somebody comes in a window or a door. But you know what keeps us safe? It's the presence of God. God protects our house. And so you alone, oh Lord, will keep me safe. Psalm 31:20 said, you protect them by your presence from what people plan against them. You shelter them from evil words. Presence of God will protect you. It'll protect you. God will keep you safe. The problem is we oftentimes try and distract ourselves, you know, rather than focusing on the presence of God. And so let me give you a couple of things that'll help you get the presence of God. When you're going through this tough time, do this. Worship will help you calm down. Write that down. Worship will help you calm down. I mean, all you got to do is start singing some of the worship songs we sing. Some of y'all and me, if we start singing, that's going to chase the devil off right there. He'd be running, my ears, my ears. The devil was a worship leader at one time. So he don't like off-key singing, so that's why I chase the devil off all the time. All right. Y'all supposed to laugh harder at that. That was funny. All right. Listen, write this down. You cannot worship and worry at the same time. You cannot worship and worry at the same time. It just doesn't work. You start worshiping, and guess what? Man, the worry goes away. I've been out on a levee by myself, and I'll sing a song. I'll never remember the verses, all of them. I combine verses. I sing the chorus wrong, but I'm singing and worshiping the Lord in multiple keys. I was leading singing at Rivard one time, and this girl told Pastor Kathy, said, he changed keys 3 times in one song. I'm going, you're getting life in prison too. So, I mean, you know. But, I mean, you know, it's just like, but you just get to worshiping. And guess what? Your worries are going to go down. You can't worship and worry at the same time. Another thing that will help you calm down is get to reading God's Word. Get to reading God's Word. That will help you calm down. Let me read the Psalms. If you want to, listen, David had somebody, David, how many of y'all saw that old movie, Enemy of the State? It's an old movie now, but it was this guy and the CIA and the NSA and all those initials were after him. They had satellites following him around. That was David, man. He had King Saul and the whole army of Israel trying to kill him. And he wrote all these Psalms. And so reading the Psalms will help you calm down because God did miraculous things to save David's life. And David wrote about them in the Psalms and stuff. And so get to reading the Word of God. I love reading the book of Acts. The miraculous growth of the church. And I mean, Paul was preaching a long time one time, and this guy fell asleep in the window and fell out the window, and Paul went and laid hands on him and raised him from the dead. Don't fall out of your chair. I've never raised anybody from the dead. But, you know, but Paul preached a long time. I don't. Y'all can say amen. And or thank you or whatever. But see, you know, that's the thing. You get to reading God's Word. I love Acts. Maybe you want to read the Gospels, but get in God's Word. That calms me down. I love reading that. When I start reading, you know, I mean, Paul's on a ship, and he's telling them, we're going to get shipwrecked, but nobody's going to die. How would you like to be the captain of that ship? So, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Yeah, we're going to sink, but none of us are going to die. And then you're floating around in the ocean for a couple of days, and then he gets in there, and they build a fire, and he reaches in to get some wood and get snake bit. I mean, you know, Paul, all this stuff happened. But I love reading that because God took care of him over and over and over again. And so we do that. Read the Psalms. Number three, because God is always with us, we can trust him to fill us with hope. We can trust him. You can trust that God will fill you with hope. You know, how does he do that? How does God fill you with hope? You know, here's Jesus. It's the Last Supper. He's about to be arrested and executed. And he's telling the disciples, hey, guys, I'm fixing to leave. They're going to kill me. Can you imagine the disciples are going to say, what? Hey, listen, we can't do without you. You're like the main guy. We got to have you here. And all of a sudden, he said, no, they're going to kill me. And here's what he says. But when the Father sends the Comforter instead of me, and by Comforter I mean the Holy Spirit, he will teach you much as well as remind you of everything I myself have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. The peace I give isn't fragile like the peace of the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. You know what that means? That means the peace of the world is like happiness, and it's fragile. You might be in there happy when you're eating snowballs. Tomorrow when you step on the scales, you're not going to be happy, all right? And so, you know, so that goes away, but the joy of God doesn't. The joy of God. So God gives us, write this down, the Holy Spirit to live in us. He gives the Holy Spirit to live in us. That's the comforter, the hope giver. See, when we invite Christ in, the presence of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, comes and lives inside of us. And listen, he gives us hope. Our hope is not based on all kinds of stuff. Our hope is based on one thing, the person of Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ. And so that's how we have our hope. Jesus is the one that placed his Spirit in us. Psalm 16:8, Paul said this, I mean, not Paul, David, I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near and nothing can shake me. You know what? If you got the presence of God with you, he's near, nothing can shake you. And he said, and I am so thankful and glad and I feel completely secure. David's writing that and people trying to kill him. But let me tell you something, God will never leave you. Because he's with you, and Jesus, as Jesus said, he is in you. You've got the presence of God in you. So when you're going through a struggle, I want you to understand, God is with you. He's in you, and he's going to fill you with hope. And so there's how does that happen? There's a couple things. The first thing, God gives us his Holy Spirit. The second thing is we have always got to put God first in our lives. Write that down. That means I'm not going to trust my feelings. I'm not going to trust what somebody says. God is first in my life. The more we trust God, the more we act on that, the bigger our faith gets and the easier life becomes. I remember one time Pastor Kathy was doing an interview for a TV thing years ago, and they had Mike Singletary, who used to be the linebacker for the Chicago Bears. And he was a tough guy. He played for the Bears when they had the defense, you know what I mean? And Mike Singletary was kind of like Reggie White. He would hit you and then pick you up and say, "Do you know Jesus?" And you know, you'd be afraid to say no because you might be afraid he's going to introduce you to him next play, you know what I mean? They had, you know, Mike Singletary, I shook his hand and my hand just disappeared. It was like, no hand, is everywhere. And they asked him, is it easy or is it difficult to live for Jesus in the NFL? And I'm thinking he's going to say it's hard. Because you got money, you got drugs, you got people coming at you. He says it's easy. He said, when you're radical, all those little prostitutes, all those little drug dealers, the drug dealer don't mess with me, knows I'm going to take his money and his drugs and throw it away. Prostitutes know they're going to get a sermon. He said, when you're radical, it's easy. Those people don't even come around. And so let me tell you something. When we put God first in our life, and that is above everything else, it gets easier. When you've made that decision, life gets easier. It gets easier. You want more joy in your life? Look at what David said here. He said, you will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. Let me tell you something. I don't ever want to act in a way where I lose the presence of God in my life, where I lose that feeling where I feel his presence, because when you've experienced it, you don't want to lose it. And so you want that going, and so you put him first in your life. His presence fills us with joy. David trusted God with all his heart. David was far from perfect, but he trusted God with all his heart. And God filled him with joy because he acted on his trust. Now listen, joy is not based on what's going on around us. There's not a lot of joy outside. You go look at Fox, CNN, MSNBC, any of those news stations tonight, not a whole lot of joy there. Joy comes from the presence of God. Joy comes from the presence of God. Listen, it says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. He rescues those whose... Let me tell you, God wants to rescue you. And so don't run from God during difficult times. Turn to God during difficult times. Number four, real quick. Because God is always with me, I can trust him to see me through. Here's the thing. What he started in you, he's going to finish. But he started in you, he's going to finish. So he's always going to, you can trust him to see you through. Look, Isaiah 43:2 said, when you go through the deep waters in great trouble, what? I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames won't consume you. God never promised that when you accept him as his Savior, that you're not going to have troubles. He never said, look, you know, when you're a Christian, I know people that think, hey, I'm supposed to never lose money. My kid, everything's going to be. No, he said, I'm going to walk through those troubles with you. I'm going to develop your character, and I'm going to help you go through those and live a victorious life in the world and not out of the world. He said, you'll go through it. You won't be burned up. You might get wet, but you're not going to drown. He said, he didn't promise it. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world, you'll have difficulty. But fear not, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And so we can trust him to see us through. Let me tell you, life is not necessarily always fair. It's not even fair most of the time. David said this, the Lord saved me from death. He stopped my tears, and he kept me from defeat. And so I walk in the what? The presence of the Lord in the world of the living. Folks, let's covenant tonight. Let's dedicate ourselves tonight to walking in the presence of the Lord and the world of the living. Let's leave out of here and let's walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living, in the world of the living. And he said, I kept on believing even when I said, I am completely crushed. You might feel crushed tonight. You might feel crushed with what's going on for the last 10 months now, it seems like, or however many months. Or you might feel crushed with what's going on in your family or jobs or whatever. But here's what God said. He will stop your tears. He'll keep you from defeat. So we can walk in the presence of the Lord in the world of the living. So let me tell you something. If you're feeling like you're crushed, God wants to see you through. And God will see you through. You know, there was a story I read. You know, I listen to testimonies and sermons all the time. There's one sermon I was listening to. This guy, his wife was sick and she died. And he was going through a lot of despair. Him and his daughter, his wife actually had moved out and she overdosed and died. And it was the phone call he never wanted to get. Him and his daughter, they were alone and they had great despair. And so he was feeling all that. And he just threw himself at the Lord. And he said the Lord got him through that. The Lord got him through it. Years later, he remarried and he's serving the Lord. But here's what he had to realize, that God didn't promise it was going to be easy. God just said, I'm going to walk with you through it. And that's what God wants to do. He will restore you from wherever you have fallen. And that's what, look at this last promise. Jeremiah 29:11, I love it. God said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Prosper you and not harm you. But here's what I want you to focus on. Plans to give you hope and a future. See, God wants to give each one of us hope and a future. And so I want you to think about that. I don't know what the future is. Man, I don't even know who's going to be president. I don't know if anybody knows who's going to be president for a while. But I know the one who holds the future. His name is Jesus. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to remember that no matter what, God is going to get you through. God's going to get you through. And as we leave out of here tonight, I want you to be able to walk in the presence of the Lord in the world of the living. I want you to be able to walk in the presence of the Lord in the world of the living. If you're here tonight, I know most people, but I'm going to ask this anyway. If you're here tonight, you're watching on Facebook, or you're here with Teen Challenger, you're just in this service, you haven't taken that first step to receive the presence of God by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I want to give you that opportunity tonight. So years ago, I went to a little Bible study and they asked me to describe my relationship with Jesus, and I had to admit I didn't have one. I'd been to church, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I couldn't describe it because I didn't have it. I could talk about church, but it's about having a personal relationship with Jesus. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that. There's no magic formula. And I didn't accept Jesus in that meeting. I accepted Jesus in my bedroom later that night after watching Kung Fu. Kung Fu had nothing to do with me coming to Christ. It just was a TV program on my little TV I got to watch. And I invited Christ to come into my life, and it's made a difference in my life. Changed the course of my life. And I believe that's the first step of experiencing that presence. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give you an opportunity right now to call on Jesus. I'll pray a prayer, and you can pray it silently with me. Or if you're at home watching this, you can pray this. If you don't know Jesus, in other words, if you're not positive, change that tonight. You can be positive tonight. Just pray with me. Dear God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me and wanting to know me and me to know you. Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior and be my Lord. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit to live for you every day. so that one day I'll spend eternity with you. It's in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, that's the first step. If you're here tonight and maybe you're going through some stuff and still nobody's looking around, and maybe you're going through some stuff and you just need to feel the presence of God, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I mean, you're going through some stuff and you'd like to be able to say, I walk in the presence of the Lord and the world of the living, but right now you're feeling completely crushed. Just lift your hands. Father, you see these hands. And Lord, I know that you want us to feel your presence. I know that you want to fill them with the joy of their salvation. And so, God, I pray for them right now. Lord, you know the different situations. You know the different struggles. So, God, move in them right now. Touch them, Lord. Touch them right now. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your presence. Lord, let them feel your presence. Oh, God. Lord, we just want your presence in this room. Lord, I pray for those who have their hands up, God. Touch them, God. Let them be able to know that you're with them. Lord, you said you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Never abandon us, that you love us. There's nowhere we can go to get away from your love. So, Father, I pray for them. I pray for their situations, God. I pray for miracles in their situations, Lord. I pray for miracles in their jobs, their families, their loved ones, God, the things that they are praying desperately for, just throwing their cares to you, God. I lift up and I agree with them. God, we look to you for miracles in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing one more song. We're going long. But we'll sing. Got it? Which one are we going to do? We're going to sing a song. The band's here. So I want us to just worship. I want us to leave out here with worship. And, you know, the presence of God, you can feel it. But we got to walk in faith, knowing that we are experiencing the presence of God. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how bad it is. Doesn't matter how bad it is. God is there with you. Now, sometimes he's trying to get us to go a different direction. But he's always with us. So let's just sing a chorus of this, and then we'll be dismissed. If you need prayer, Pastor Kathy and I will pray for you as well.